you're to support your fellow community members. Make sure to try their famous Southern Fried Tofu Sandwich and fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies. Give them a call at 204-233-0441 to place an order for pickup today.
Thousands of opinions are at our fingertips, but are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to a democracy, a watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
UMFM 101.5 broadcasts at 1200 watts from the University of Manitoba, located on Treaty 1 territory, the original lands of the Anishinaabeg, Nahiwak, Oji Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and the homeland of the Métis Nation.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Manitoba in the Moment. I am your host, Lucy, as always. And today we have a special guest, Tommy Douglas Keenan. So how are you doing today?
Doing great, thanks.
That's good to hear. So you have an upcoming album release on Thursday.
Yeah, I do. It's my new album, Returns to the Moon, and it's at Side Stage. Yeah.
Very, very fun. So obviously, we're going to play some music from the album to get some of you all to go out and have a really fun Thursday afternoon, maybe pre-St. Patrick's Day a little bit for some of you. But for this particular album, I noticed you had a lot of single releases throughout 2025 that appear on the album, and that's kind of the beginning of your releases since, I believe, 2023.
Yeah.
So was it more of a writing a bunch of songs and releasing them, seeing how it goes, and then deciding to make an album, or was the album always sort of planned?
The album was always planned. Yeah, I find the music industry pretty mystifying in terms of how you're supposed to go about doing things. And I'm doing things on my own, so with a little bit of help from friends, but no real team. It's very, very independent. And, you know, it was apparently it's supposed to be good for you to release a bunch of singles. Like some people release all the songs as singles before they release the album, apparently, which seems like a bit giving too much away beforehand, but
yeah, I'd say so too.
Yeah, but I definitely released a bunch. Yeah.
Yes, it was very sporadic, and I think it drew a lot of interest also for this project as well, because you gave sort of ideas of what the whole album can be as a whole, but also every song is very individualistic in its messages or themes going into them. Especially with O Melody. I read up a little bit of some things you said on it, but do you want to give a little bit more information on that song specifically?
Sure, yeah. I was on tour several years ago, and yeah, there was just this sort of impossible, unrequited romance on the tour that was just really beautiful, but, you know, never meant to be. And so it's just about those feelings and the rush of the romantic feelings and the joy of it, but then no fruition.
Yeah. So a little bit of like a Romeo and Juliet minus the death a little bit. There.
Minus all the death. Yeah. And the gang warfare.
Just a little bit. So a lot of the songs have that sort of underlying kind of quiet happiness and sadness to them, a lot like Melody. Is that for emphasis on anything, or is that just your natural sort of songwriting pattern?
I guess so, yeah. I never plan what a song's going to feel like before I write it, and I guess I enjoy songs that don't take themselves too seriously. I mean, I enjoy other people's songs that take themselves seriously sometimes, but personally, I can't bring myself to take myself too seriously when I'm writing. So there's always, I try to usually have a bit of humor. And I just, you know, as I get older, I just find sweetness and bitterness mixed together more and more.
Mm-hmm. Typically two things that are very, word is just escaping my head. They work very well together, like simultaneously.
Yeah.
They're good opposites. And you can definitely hear that in the songs because they, for me, have a very like lighthearted, fun sound, but also just that underlying gravity to them, I would say. I also wrote down here that they sound like good road trip songs.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
That's my favorite way to listen to music, so.
Well, I think you succeeded then with the album.
Great.
Because I would definitely put this on for a road trip.
Excellent.
Just has a lot of those feel-good moments in them. So,
it reminded me that Lou Reed once said something about, you know, the perfect song being one that sounds happy, but the words are sad. It's just a magic combination for him, and I'd have to agree.
Yeah, I think you did a pretty good job with it,
oh, thanks.
To be honest. So how did you get into music, especially since your main job is acting?
Yeah, I got into music as a teenager. I was my brother was always a more talented musician. He played piano, taught himself how to play when he was 12 or something, and he started writing songs early on, and I got a guitar, and like I just started sort of sitting next to the piano next to him and learning how to play his songs. And and it took me a long time before I started writing my own songs.
Mm-hmm.
I, had a couple attempts that weren't really successful, and then something happened, and I just started writing a whole bunch.
Something clicked.
Yeah. Well, I started a band with a couple of friends of mine, these two women, and we called it the Church Choir. And we didn't have it. We learned a few covers, but then we were like, well, we need songs. And I had always played my brother's songs.
Mm-hmm.
So we all just started writing songs. And I just wrote a whole bunch.
Yeah. So then it sprung from there.
Yeah.
So from working in a band, did you move immediately into focusing on working on your own things, or was it more of a going from a band to another one, working with other musicians and learning?
I think, when the band split up, I think I was just in the rhythm of writing songs. Like, it was just the right time, and just like more and more kept coming.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of emotions going around to spare, so those are always helpful when writing a song.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wrote my first album pretty quickly, and then there was a recording school that would, let you record for free if the students got to experiment on you, kind of thing.
Oh, that's fun.
And yeah, so I recorded all the bed tracks there, and then my friend Matt Peters and I took it to his practice space and did more recording and mixing. And I've been working with Matt ever since.
Wow. So lots of sort of community support going on throughout your music, which is pretty awesome. I've had a lot of people who've come on the show. They've had the exact same sort of experience where community has supported them and helped them and just been very gratifying for them in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, like we were talking before the show started, you act for your main job. So has that played a role in your music, or has music played a role in how you focus on theater or acting or film?
I've written a lot of music for theater, or a fair amount. Plays that started out with plays that I was producing with friends. And then, I've written stuff with Matt for shows, and with other people as well. Wrote some children's songs for a children's show once. So music definitely feeds into theater, and often, they're looking for an actor who can sing and play guitar. So that helps.
Yeah, checks
narrows
the boxes.
It narrows it down to me sometimes. As far as acting, into the music side, I think it must feed how I look at songwriting and performing, just because it's a very different kind of performance and a very different art form. But I feel like any cross pollination between art forms is going to be fruitful.
I think it also could help with building sort of a character of a song, or like character in quotes of a song.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Because it definitely, there is that voice coming through. So I guess because we've been talking about your music so much, but not really giving anybody a chance to hear it, we should probably, my voice is going there, play one of them. So we'll start off with one that we've already mentioned, Oh Melody, and then we'll be right back with more on that particular song and just the writing of it. So for everybody listening, here is O Melody by Tommy Douglas Keenan.
Hold tight on me, hold tight on me. I'm looking for a reason not to go home. No bicycles and no subway system. Just taxis and our feet.
Listening to 101.5 UMFM. This is Manitoba in the Moment, and I'm your host, Lucy. So we are back with Tommy Douglas Keenan, who is releasing his newest album on Thursday, along with a show at Side Stage for his album release. So we were just listening to O Melody, which is on your new record and is one of the singles you released.
Mm-hmm.
So, we talked a little bit about the meaning behind the song, but how was the actual, like, writing process of it and making of that individual song?
Well, it was part of, so a friend of mine who's actually playing in my band, Natalie Bourne, is a big advocate for the Song Every Week Club, which is something that I don't know who did it first, but she introduced me to it, and I think the first song on my record was the first one I wrote from that club, and this was the second one. And you set it up for a month, and it's a group of people, and you have to upload a song. It doesn't have to be a finished song. It could be just an idea. It could be, you have to upload something by the end of the week or you're out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a great sort of casual way of spurring yourself on.
Yeah, giving yourself a little bit of a poke.
Yeah. And I had recently got a new guitar and just kind of came up with the guitar part. And then, just recorded a sort of demo version of it and uploaded that. And then, when we brought it into the studio to record, my friend Matt Peters of Royal Canoe is just a wizard with, bringing in different sounds. And he's got lovely synths. And, I've never been much of a synth guy before, but I was really glad to have him on board.
They can really add to a song.
Yeah. So. And it's I feel like at core, it's like a pretty folky album, but we wanted it to have sort of non-folky sounds, and there's some samples and there's just some left field sort of sounds that I'm really glad can sort of set it apart from a more traditional folk sound.
Create some more dynamic elements.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, was this a song that you've had, obviously, like, the writing club, was that from a while ago, or was it more recent?
It was a little while ago. It's one of the more recent songs on the album. Actually, one of the songs on this album was back from when I wrote my first album, and I just sort of forgot about it, and rediscovered it. And that was a long time ago. That was like 15 years ago.
Yeah, a little bit.
There's a pretty wide range of dates of these songs, which is kind of fun. I don't know. I'm not capable of pumping out albums every couple of years because I go through bursts of songwriting and then like long fallow periods.
Yeah. I feel like that helps, though, with getting more material and more inspiration than just, I need another song right now. What can I look at to get something out of it?
Yeah, I'm not really a fan. I mean, some people, everybody works differently, but I'm not really a fan of, like, the idea of I'm going to write something every day, whether it's good or not. Sometimes I feel like I just have to do other things, and then something will sort of wake up and make me write it. Because I feel like if I get too forceful about it, maybe I'm a bit superstitious about it. But I just feel like it, you kind of kill the muse.
I feel like that's a good thing to have in the music industry, because that brings a lot of realism into it rather than just the need to force a creation, a little Frankenstein-y song out or something, rather than putting the thought or the care into something, because it should take time and not be spontaneously every 2 seconds.
Yeah, and there's such an emphasis these days on constant content creation, and it's just not how I work, and it's partly why I'm not very successful on social media, because it's just like you have to keep on doing it if you want the algorithm to catch hold of you.
Yeah.
And I've come to terms with the fact that I'm just not good at social media, and it's not, I still use it to promote myself as well as I can, but I'm just, maybe have a different time.
Yeah, no, that's not a bad thing. Social media tends to be not the greatest for keeping your sanity or...
Yeah, there's that too.
...anything in social communities or anything anymore, just from the influx of usage and other elements.
Yeah, I feel a little bit, I'm a bit leery about even putting stuff out on social media, just because I don't really believe in it as a good part of society.
I would agree with you on that. It's not the most reliable source.
Yeah.
Yeah. Compared to like doing shows or going and actually putting yourself out there into, like, actual news or in theater like you do.
Yeah.
Like, you don't necessarily need to use it. And especially if you're more slow-oriented with having not the constant bombardment of media, and you're bringing back sort of that classic element to music, which is missing a lot, and you, in a way, it gains more people actually interested in your music by having the slow put out.
Well, I hope you're right.
I hope so too, because I also am not a fan of the here's another album every 2 months.
Yeah, it can get exhausting. And it's just, it's crazy just like how much music is coming out all the time now. It's, I mean, it's wonderful in one respect, but it's also like really daunting if you're putting music out there and just like, you know, you're one of 100 albums coming out on Thursday or something. It's just like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Definitely puts you in a bit of a pool if somebody's going to turn it on or find your music in. But luckily, Winnipeg has a great community that supports each other.
It's true. Yeah, I've actually printed tickets on my own, and I've been just like sort of hustling around town trying to sell tickets.
Yeah.
Because
fencing them a little bit.
Yeah, just doing a little strong arming.
Yeah. Well, not a bad place to do it, and you could probably get some people here at the university as well.
Yeah,
if you
just
want to try your hand at it.
Just wait around corners for people.
Yeah, just like, do you want to go to a concert?
Yeah.
Here's a ticket. So, we've got a couple of songs that you've said that you want to play. Is there any particular reason why you've chosen this selection, or are these your favorite sort of off the album?
I think I wanted to pick some of the more upbeat stuff. I didn't want to go for, like, I really like the slow songs on my record, too, but I don't know. I just figured it's daytime. It's a nice sunny day. Play some daytime music.
Yeah. Pump it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So you were mentioning that you have that gap in your music. Was COVID also an influence?
It certainly was.
Yeah?
It certainly was. It definitely got in the way of, just shut everything down. And people still released albums during COVID. But I had no interest in doing that because I want to play a show. I want to do a tour. I want to...
Yeah, connect with everybody.
Connect with everybody. And so I just kind of put things to sleep. I did do a lot of songwriting over COVID, but then I kind of burned out on that, too.
Yeah, that definitely is what a lot of people who've been on the show have said when I've brought up COVID and their songwriting. Like, a lot of it seems to be really helpful in early lockdown, where people have been just producing amazing music, and then the longer lockdown went on, the less it became something that was a positive and became more of a negative.
Yeah.
So do you feel the negative may have also fed into the music?
Yeah, maybe. You know, I actually, even though I burned out on songwriting and didn't continue throughout all the lockdown to write songs, I didn't have a terrible time during the lockdown. Like, I did a lot of walking with friends and, you know, even though I lived alone, which was a challenge, but it was also, like, you know, in a way a blessing, because sometimes I'm better off on my own. But it wasn't until things opened up again and I started having to, like, interact with people that I felt like I was really screwed up by it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get depressed during the lockdown so much, but afterwards I was just... you know, it's riddled with anxiety.
Yeah, too many people everywhere.
And just afraid of what people thought of me. Like, during the lockdown, I remember saying to my brother, you know, I think I'm just going to stop caring what people think of me. I think that's a healthy thing. And then the opposite thing happened.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, what your brain does when it's deprived of the bombardment of people all the time.
Yeah, and that's what we've evolved to do is socialize. That's our superpower is socialization. That's mm-hmm. how we've managed to ruin the world. Yeah, it's such a weird experiment to deprive ourselves of proper society mm-hmm. for so long.
Especially since we do have, like, other ways to connect with people, since we have smartphones and Zoom and computers.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting if you think about, like, people who had to deal with the influenza, how shocking it would have been to come out of that lockdown.
Yeah, I suspect that lockdown wasn't as strict, I think, because people had to... They couldn't go on a Zoom call, you know. They
definitely
had to.
And more people getting sick, but...
More people getting sick, but I think people died faster, too, so that kind of slowed down the spread.
Yeah, they didn't have vaccines right away.
Yeah.
So, we did go over earlier that you have acting as your day job. Mm-hmm. So, recently you've done plays at MTC, like Murder on the Orient Express, and... Serving Elizabeth at, I think that was the Prairie Theater.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you've done some film work as
well. I've got a TV gig coming up in April that I think I'm not supposed to talk about, but it's a limited series, and I think it's a very important topic. I think I can say that much.
I feel like that's vague enough.
Yeah.
People keep an eye out for...
Yeah, I think it's going to make a pretty big... You know, it's a heavy topic, but it's I think people will get into it.
That's good. So is that is it too much to ask if it's the CBC or not, or platform?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what I'm allowed to say, yeah. So that'll be fun. I'll do a few days on that in April, and then I'm doing Shakespeare in the Ruins, which is another unannounced, I can't say mm-hmm. the title of the play, but it's a Shakespeare show.
Yes.
And that's a company that I love working for.
And very fun also, just to, that one's a nice one to walk or bike to as well.
Yeah.
In the city.
Yeah.
So if you guys are wanting something to do in the summer, Shakespeare in the Ruins is always fantastic to go and see. So we were talking a little bit earlier before the show again about your recent play Murder on the Orient Express and how it is now going to Edmonton.
Yeah, it's a co-production between MTC and the Citadel in Edmonton, and so we rehearsed and performed here, and then they're shipping the whole amazing set over to Edmonton, and we're going to put it up in September or October.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So if you guys did miss it here, I guess you guys have to go to Edmonton to see the show, because it was really, really a fantastic production.
Oh, thanks.
And
I've got a good recommendation for a road trip album if you're going to drive out there.
Yeah. So we've got your whole September/fall planned out,
mm-hmm.
which I hope maybe some of you do that. That seems like a pretty good trip to me.
Yeah.
So moving more on to your acting music, how did that come about, going into both areas of such creative expressions?
Well, I got into acting really slowly. Like, I took acting class in, like, high school, and then I did, like, the musical in grade 12, and then so I was like, oh, I guess I'm okay at this. And then I started taking it in university, but I never intended to be an actor. And then by the time I was picking a major in university, I was pretty much in love with doing it. Like, I just enjoyed it so much. And then I, after I finished, there were a bunch of us who were recently finished school or still in school, and we were just, I wanted to make crazy stuff. Crazy theater, really wacky stuff. And so we'd put on fringe shows, and then we put on Shakespeare, and then I went away to school in Paris.
I did
physical theater school in Paris. It's famous for clown, and everyone thinks it's a clown school, but it's not really just a clown school.
That's pretty crazy turnaround. You just fell into it. So yeah. How did that work with you figuring out your music and kind of moving more into theater? Was one more pushed aside for the other, or were they just simultaneously working?
That period I mentioned earlier about when I really started writing a lot of songs was after I came back from Paris, and so that was before I really started getting a lot of professional theater work. Pretty simultaneously with it, just as I started working professionally, was when that band was starting to play shows and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, theater doesn't pay terribly well, but it pays, which music doesn't always do. So, I started getting more and more theater work, and I just, sometimes I would kick the old music ball down the road a little bit, just because I had a paying gig.
Yeah, gotta pay the bills.
Yeah.
So that's pretty great. You sort of ended up falling into both of them without really meaning to, which is kind of amazing. Not a lot of people can say that.
Yeah, it's very good for the non-ambitious, you know.
Yeah. Having it choose you and not you choose it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's honestly, when that happens, it's one of the best things, too.
'Cause I think so, too, yeah.
More enjoyment comes from it. At least in my opinion. So we have next the song Rocking Horse.
Okay.
Which is, I find, a very interesting title. Like, do you want to explain a little bit more about it?
Because yeah.
I've been trying to wrap my head around.
It's a weird one lyrically. I again, this was a song every week composition. And I don't know. I do remember there was an image of, it wasn't even a rocking horse, but this thing, this sort of little wooden camel that my parents had that had sort of leather mm-hmm. on it when I was a kid. And somehow that popped into my head. And then it became this sort of mock epic cowboy's story of a guy out on the range, but he's actually just riding a rocking horse, but he doesn't seem to realize he's not going anywhere. You know, so it was always just a sort of silly, whimsical idea in my head. But then the sound of the song has got this sort of, you know, ghost riders in the sky, sort of ghost riders in space sort of sound. So it's got this mock seriousness to it that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, we will be listening to Rocking Horse on 101.5 UMFM.
Little leather bound rocking horse taking me home. Baby, won't be long. This is all just talk, of course, I gotta roam. Don't believe everything you hear on the phone. This little guy can't eat up the mile. Everyone we ride by can't help but smile. Thank you.
Welcome back to Manitoba in the Moment on 101.5 UMFM. We are here talking with Tommy about his new album. So we were just listening to Rocking Horse. So do you want to dive a little bit more into the song? Maybe not so much in the storyline aspect of it, because kind of went over it already, but more so into the writing program that you were doing. I believe Dominic Adams has also done the same program as well.
Yeah, Natalie has roped in all kinds of great people. She's you know, friends with all the coolest people in town. And yeah, I think in the one where I wrote a bunch of this stuff, the other people were like, you know, like Dylan McDonald, Roman Clark. Like, mm-hmm. It was just like, you know, I was kind of nervous.
All the big names.
Yeah, they're really great. And yeah, but it was just, you know, so casual and mm-hmm. so lighthearted that it didn't matter. Except what I will say about during COVID, when we did a bunch of these, I did like several months in a row.
Oh, wow.
I think 5 months in a row or something. And I started getting in my own head about it. Like, I started feeling like, well, I'm really proud of the stuff I have put on there. And now if I put on something that's not so good, mm-hmm. And I started worrying about what people would think, which is exactly yeah. what you're not supposed to do. And so that's kind of how I burned out on it. But this was, I think, part of the first song every week I ever did.
Okay, yeah.
Or the second, can't remember.
One of them. That's pretty yeah. good. Sounds like it's a very useful thing for, or I guess resource is a better word.
Yeah.
For artists. It's like, from what I've heard about it, it seems to be a good exercise to get feedback and just keep going with the songwriting.
Yeah. You kind of have to, if you want the feedback, you have to seek it out, because I think one of the rules generally, at least the way we've done it, mm-hmm. is no criticism, you know. This is not the time to criticize, but if you do want it, you can, like, message people and say, like, hey, what do you think of that bridge? Is it stupid? And, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then with Rocking Horse specifically, was the actual mixing and composition section of it something that you had down right away, or was this more of a while I'm recording this I'm figuring it out?
Well, so I when I had all the demos, I had recorded them all at home, and then the electric guitar part, or one of the electric, the main sort of lead electric guitar part, I had recorded for the demo, and we just used that because electric guitar is less fussy, and you don't necessarily have to do it in the studio with a great mic, whereas acoustic mm-hmm. guitar I had to re-record, and vocals I had to re-record and stuff. So the form of the song didn't change. We just added those synths and a lot of effects, and yeah, had a lot of fun just sort of making it as spacey as possible. I had no idea that this record was going to be as spacey as it was.
So is that where the album title is kind of coming from?
Yeah, partly. There's also a lot of moon imagery in these songs. It just turned out that way, that I kept on staring at the moon. And it's, you know, it's one of probably the most popular source of imagery for writers.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah,
but it's a lot of metaphors can come from that.
Yeah. And shamelessly, I'm pumping some more out there.
Well, I'm sure that everybody's gonna really be interested, because if they weren't, I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right? So, on Thursday, you do have your album release show coming. Mm-hmm. Are you using the same sort of band that you have had in the studio, or were you just recording singly?
It's a lot of the same band. We didn't do a lot of live tracking. We did a little bit. But yes, Natalie's playing bass, and she's on the album, and she also sings on every song on the album. and Derek Allard, formerly of Royal Canoe, and lots of other bands, plays with JP Ho a lot and stuff. Mm-hmm. But he's playing drums. And my old friend Dave Quanbury is playing guitar. He also played on the record. And my brother Patrick, who's recently moved back from Whitehorse, and he's the reason I play music, he's playing in the band as well. And also Jackson Haldane of the D-Rangers, great banjo player. That's
a pretty good group of people that you've got.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah.
It's when we had our first practice, I was, yeah.
Amped up. As you should be. It's a pretty exciting thing to have your music just put out to the world.
Yeah.
Especially since your brother is going to be there.
Yeah.
Seems like he's a really large part of your influence in music.
Totally, yeah. He's, and he's just coming back. Like, he hasn't played a lot of shows since he's come back, so it's, like, nice to sort of get him out there into a newish venue and, you know, get him to meet some new people and just get him... I'm sure he's going to get excited about playing more of shows of his own because he writes a lot of songs.
Oh, yeah. And then you'll have to play with him as well.
Yeah, I hope so, if he'll have me. Yeah.
Might have to beg him on your hands and knees.
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, I think we should play another one of your songs. So we'll listen to Rich People, and then we'll dive more into the album and your upcoming show.
All right.
So here is Rich People. Bye.
Rich people know how to party. I've never seen such class in my life. They mistake me for a rich man. They mistake you for my wife. We share knowing looks with the servants as they offer us more champagne. Our smiles turn into giggles as the bubbles enter our veins. We were first to arrive, we'll be last to depart. And these gracious folks, they laugh at our jokes while we're having our way with the bar. Take you in every one, but you must remind me that you're not mine. By flirting with rich men's sons, we play them some songs on the piano. They're delighted that it's getting used. We harmonize and bring tears to their eyes with a dignified form of the blues. They mistake you for my wife.
ਕਿਰਤ ਅਤੇ ਕਲਾਵਾਂ ਦਾ ਜਸ਼ਨ ਦੀ ਯੋਜਨਾਵਾਂ ਚੱਲ ਰਹੀਆਂ ਹਨ। ਇਹ ਸਾਲਾਨਾ ਤਿਉਹਾਰ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਕਲਾਕਾਰਾਂ ਦੁਆਰਾ ਪੇਸ਼ ਕੀਤੇ ਸੱਭਿਆਚਾਰਕ ਪ੍ਰਗਟਾਵਿਆਂ ਦਾ ਸਨਮਾਨ ਅਤੇ ਪ੍ਰਚਾਰ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਮਜ਼ਦੂਰ ਜਮਾਤ ਦੇ ਜੀਵਨ ਅਤੇ ਇੱਛਾਵਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਦਰਸਾਉਂਦੇ ਹਨ ਅਤੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੀ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਮਜ਼ਦੂਰਾਂ ਦਾ ਵੀ ਸਨਮਾਨ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਇੱਕ ਬਿਹਤਰ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਬਣਾਉਣ ਲਈ ਆਪਣੇ ਜੀਵਨ, ਕੰਮ ਅਤੇ ਸੰਘਰਸ਼ਾਂ ਦੀ ਵਿਆਖਿਆ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਨ। ਇਹ ਤਿਉਹਾਰ ਮਈ ਦੇ ਮਹੀਨੇ ਜਾਂ ਉਸਦੇ ਆਸ ਪਾਸ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਕਲਾਕਾਰ, ਪ੍ਰਦਰਸ਼ਨਕਾਰ, ਲੇਖਕ, ਨਚਾਰ, ਫਿਲਮ ਨਿਰਮਾਤਾ, ਅਦਾਕਾਰ, ਕਾਮੇਡੀਅਨ ਜਾਂ ਹੋਰ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਕੋਲ ਕੋਈ ਪ੍ਰਦਰਸ਼ਨੀ, ਪ੍ਰਦਰਸ਼ਨ, ਪ੍ਰੋਜੈਕਟ ਜਾਂ ਕੋਈ ਸਮਾਗਮ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਉਸ ਸਮੇਂ ਦੌਰਾਨ ਹੋਵੇਗਾ, ਕਿਰਪਾ ਕਰਕੇ 15 ਮਾਰਚ ਤੱਕ ਆਪਣੇ ਸਮਾਗਮ ਦਾ ਵੇਰਵਾ info@mayworks.org ਤੇ ਭੇਜੋ। ਮੇਵਕਸ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਸੰਸਥਾ ਅਤੇ ਸਮਾਗਮ ਦਾ ਪ੍ਰਚਾਰ ਸਾਡੇ ਆਨਲਾਈਨ ਅਤੇ ਪ੍ਰਿੰਟ ਕੈਲੰਡਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਕਰੇਗਾ। ਮੇਵਕਸ ਇੱਕ ਗੈਰ ਮੁਨਾਫਾ ਸੰਸਥਾ ਹੈ ਜਿਸ ਦੀ ਸਥਾਪਨਾ 1994 ਵਿੱਚ ਕੀਤੀ ਗਈ ਸੀ, ਜੋ ਕਿ 1919 ਦੀ ਵਿਨਪੈਕ ਜਨਰਲ ਹੜਤਾਲ ਦੀ 75ਵੀਂ ਵਰ੍ਹੇਗੰਢ ਦੇ ਆਸ ਪਾਸ ਦੀਆਂ ਘਟਨਾਵਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਪ੍ਰੇਰਿਤ ਸੀ।
C'est parti pour les rendez-vous de la francophonie. On s'active jusqu'au 31 mars. Plonge dans des concours, des spectacles, des projections gratuites et 1000 occasions locales de libérer ton énergie francophone. Viens vibrer avec nous sur rvf.ca.
Welcome back to 101.5 UMFM. This is Manitoba in the Moment, and we are here with Tommy Douglas Keenan to go over his new album. So we've covered that there's a lot of moon themes, and then we've just listened to Rich People. Mm-hmm. Is that one of your more older songs, or?
Yeah, it's a little older. It's almost entirely a true story. Like I went with someone to a party for someone's wedding, and we had. Yeah, we were not together, and there was definitely some, we had it passed, but I was quite smitten with her at the time, and we went to this party and, got pretty drunk with these really rich people, and almost every, we didn't actually play them songs on the piano, but they did have this grand piano mm-hmm. on the landing of their stairwell, Whoa. It was a very nice place, and everyone was so nice to us and so interested in, oh, you're actors, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then, we got really drunk and made out in the cab, and then I wrote this song the next morning, and it's got a special place in my heart because it was like just a, it was a very, again, a very... rich emotional time with lots of different feelings.
Yeah, sounds like it. So are a lot of your songs surrounding sort of romantic or heartbreak-esque?
Seems to be that case, yeah. Not all of them, but there tends to be a lot of longing and a lot of sort of mistakes being made or just things that aren't meant to be. I don't know why. It's not an intentional thing. Just kind of that's what comes out.
Would you say because it the songs were written over a course of a period that it's sort of an evolution of your outlook or
yeah, maybe.
Where you were as a person?
Yeah, I mean some of them are straight fiction, just like coming out of just don't know where they came from, just here's an idea and
mm-hmm. Sort of like Rocking Horse.
Sort of like Rocking Horse, yeah. And then some of them come out of a real sort of seed of reality and then it just sort of becomes something else. And then some of them like that one, pretty much a true story. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot of like narratives and storytelling going on.
Yeah.
That's really fun when you have songs that tell stories that could be true, could be not true.
Yeah.
I think that makes it really fun for a listener to try and figure it out without being... told any information about where they originated from?
I think so, too. Yeah, I'm a big Bob Dylan fan. I feel like in his best work, there's always a sort of question of, like, is this about a real person? Or, like, because it's mm-hmm. so vivid and so, emotionally hitting. But then also just sort of, he's a real poet and he.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I've always sort of looked up to that kind of songwriting and aspired to that.
Definitely. So is that where the harmonica comes from in Rocking Horse? A little bit of Bob Dylan inspiration, or were you just...
Yeah, I think probably. My friends who I was in that band with bought me a harmonica holder, which I call a Bob Dylan machine. and it totally surprised me. It was like, I think, a birthday present or something. And I was like, oh, I guess I'd better learn how to... Like, they bought me this and a harmonica. So I was like, I guess I'd better learn how to play harmonica.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just when I do a lot of solo playing because it's cheaper. And I like playing solo, too. And it adds a much-needed second instrument.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of contrast.
Mm-hmm.
So you've also, we've talked briefly about some of your other bands, but you also played in Heavy Bell, which was very short lifespan, but very interesting as well.
Yeah. I mean, I've done a lot of collaborations over the years, sort of side projects with Matt Peters. Like we wrote a couple songs for Royal Canoe together. We, you know, did my first album, and then we started doing stuff for theater, and we've done like a few projects there. And then I was in Toronto. I was doing a show in Toronto, like a play, and Matt was in town. It was actually the first time Royal Canoe, the first lineup of Royal Canoe, were playing in Toronto. I had just been given this book by Grand Central Station. I Sat Down and Wept by Elizabeth Smart. It's this poetic novel from 1945. And it's just the most heart-wrenching, just the most, like she wrote it about an affair she had, but she started it before the affair began, before she even met. She fell in love with this poet, really just a romantic at heart, like a hyper-romantic at heart. And she read this man's poems and fell in love with him just through his poetry, and then wrote to him and invited him out. She was living in California at the time and invited him. He was in Japan and said he was broke, and it's like, oh, come, I'll work as your secretary for free, and you can work in this writer's retreat. And then he arrives, and his wife is the first one who gets off the bus. But she wrote those lines before he even arrived. So she knew in advance that she was going to have this affair with him. And she did. She had several children with him, but he never left his wife. And it was, you know, just this very, very...
conflicting sort of...
Yeah. And her writing is just this flood of feeling. It's so amazing. And so I read this book, and I was like, man, we got to do something with this. And I gave it to him, and then he read it, and he got really excited. And then we went back to my place when we were both back in Winnipeg and just opened the book up and would take turns sitting at the piano or the guitar. And one of us would start playing and the other one would start singing. And we wrote all these songs in pretty rapid succession and then proceeded to take 10 years to arrange them, because we were arranging them for instruments that we had no business arranging for, like strings and brass and woodwinds.
Yeah, a little bit trickier ones to...
Yeah, so we were like teaching ourselves how to do it and making lots of mistakes. And the people who eventually played on the album were very gracious about saying, you know, this, maybe switch these two parts around. And like, oh, okay, yeah, great. But yeah, I'm very proud of the album. It's totally different from anything, you know, on the Royal Canoe side or the Tommy Douglas Keenan side. And we did a tour of Canada and then Prairie Theatre Exchange... Excuse me, brought us in, and we did a show with two dancers right when COVID hit. We were on our fifth performance, I think, when we shut down. But yeah, it was a really special project.
Yeah, and I would recommend for anybody listening to go and listen to that as well, just because it's such an amazing album to even just come up with. And deserves someone to listen to, like some audience, because...
Thanks, yeah.
It's very dynamic. So we'll listen to The Moon Goes, which is one of the more prominent out of your album, matching with your album title, I would say. And then we'll be back with some information on your show. And that'll have to close off the show for today. So for everybody who is listening, here is The Moon Goes on 101.5 UMFM.
I don't know why it won't stay. My chair so I can stare at the last of the night. I've been here so many times trying to hold on to you, and more often than not there's been clouds I haven't even got a view. The moon goes carving an arc. Through the mottled sky, winking like it knows. The stars step back when you come out, oh so graciously. I've been waiting so long, I wanna shout, and then you come and smile at me. The moon goes waving goodbye.
So you are listening to 101.5 UMFM. This is Manitoba in the Moment, and we're here with Tommy Douglas Keenan. So we're about to close out the show today, but do you want to give some quick information about your show on Thursday?
Yeah. So it's at Side Stage. The opening act is Hera Nalam, who's also an actor and a terrific singer-songwriter. And I've got this fantastic band back me up, and also Son of Dave, who is a Winnipeg legend, is going to be spinning. He's got 45 RPM records.
Oh, wow.
And he's a terrific DJ. Like, he's a terrific musician, but...